the mango from the tree and the mango down to me. Put the mango in a sack, put the sack up on my back. Everybody now come along, help me sing my mango song. Mango.
Hi, this is Daniel Garber, the movies for CulturalMining.com and CIUT 89.5 FM. When you think of middle-aged explorers and hunters in khaki and pith helmets, you probably picture Kipling shooting elephants and tigers, but there's a new type of hunter on the scene. They're ecologically minded, not destructive. They're the fruit hunters who travel the globe searching for undiscovered or lost varieties of cultivated and wild fruits to bring back to their sanctuaries. Their stories are explored in a fascinating new documentary called Fruit Hunters, directed by noted Canadian filmmaker Young Chang, that had its world premiere at Toronto's Real Asian Festival. It's being released in theaters on November 23rd. Young Chang brought us up the Yangtze and China heavyweight, and I'm very pleased to have a chance to talk to him here in Toronto by telephone. Hi, Young.
Hi there. Thanks for having me.
Thank you for being there. So let's start with sex. What's with fruit and sex? What's the sexual appeal?
Let's cut right to it.
That's right.
Well, I think that there's a connection. I mean, I noticed it almost immediately that fruit is so sexual. Certainly, the way they look and they often resemble parts of human anatomy.
Yeah, vulvic and phallic.
Exactly, and I think that really is the essence of fruits. That fruits are what they are because their sole mission in life is to seduce us, to want them, to eat them, to spread their seed, so to speak,
and as it were,
and vice versa. We have this sort of interrelationship. We have this symbiotic connection to fruit. They need us just as much as we need them, and that is something that I found fascinating making the film. That it seems that many of us have lost our connection to that primal kind of necessity and of our connection to nature, of our connection to it's known. You know, they call it biophilia, this notion that we have this innate connection to nature, that it's built within our DNA. And I think that we've lost touch with that. A film like The Fruit Hunters is about reconnecting and rediscovering that celebratory connection to diversity.
So these fruit hunters go searching this biophilia, they're searching this connection in Bali and Borneo and even Italy. How did you meet these people? How did you come upon this topic?
Well, I'm lucky enough that the subject matter is based on a book by Adam Golner, a friend of mine from Montreal. He wrote a book of the same name, The Fruit Hunters, and I use that sort of as my source book, as my research guide, as I delved into the subject matter. I mean, it's a tough subject matter. It's sort of like making a film about, let's say, orchids or animals. and so you need to have some guidance. Luckily, you know, the filter was through the connections I had with these organizations of Rare Fruit Council, of Rare Fruit Aficionados. And they have organizations like the Rare Fruit Council International.
So,
and I went to a gathering in Miami, and that's where I began to meeting I began to meet some of these individuals, these fruit hunters.
So these people that you met there, what do they do?
A lot of them are hobbyists and amateurs. A lot of them are horticulturalists, that backyard enthusiasts who like to grow and their own fruit, whether they be from in the South or even from Canada. Everyone has a certain particular fruit that they're obsessed with.
So some are altruistic, some are self-serving?
Most are altruistic. I think most people get into the hobby of fruit simply because they want to share fruit and what they grow. There is maybe a subset of people who like to grow it to know that they can have it and keep it and eat it for themselves. But the people that I met, those individuals from the Rare Fruit Council International, were very giving, very magnanimous, and love to introduce new things to people and fruits like the ice cream bean.
Ice cream bean.
Have you heard of this?
No.
It's a wild fruit that's the size of a 2-foot long pea pod, and it's velvet. and you rip it open, like you unzip it down the center, and you open it, and inside is what looks like the consistency of cotton candy. In fact, some people say it should be called the cotton candy fruit. It tastes amazing. It tastes like vanilla. Yeah, it's beautiful. I tried it in Hawaii, but you can find it in those tropical regions, even in Miami, and I had it also in Borneo.
So these fruit hunters are off in Borneo, and they meet people there who tell them about a fruit they've never heard of. What happens next?
Right. So some of these fruit hunters, it is their job. I mean, the couple that I met in Miami from the Fairchild Botanic Garden, Richard Campbell and Norice Ledesma, are professional fruit hunters. Their life mission is to find and protect rare varieties of fruit from around the world and bring it back to their Garden of Eden, so to speak, and graft it and preserve it in this garden, this living museum. So they've got the Borneo and Bali trip we went on was in search of a rare white-fleshed mango called the Wani. And so that was the mission. We usually, these fruit hunters start by at the markets because they know that the best fruit isn't the wild fruit in the jungle, but the fruit that's been cultivated by humans. So they go to the markets, they source out where some of these fruits may be, you know, from where they are sold, and from there they trace it back to where they're grown, and from there they'll negotiate and work out a situation where they can bring back a cutting of this fruit and then graft it for preservation reasons, for ecological reasons.
So they preserve it back in the U.S. or Canada or wherever they're working from.
In Miami, this one, the couple in particular, I did meet with Isabella Dalla Ragione, who's an Italian fruit detective, and her life's mission is to protect and preserve fruits, forgotten fruits in the hills of Umbria in Italy.
These are ones that were popular or present in the Renaissance era or Middle Ages?
Exactly. Fruits that were popular, used in recipes in the age of the Medici and the Renaissance period, and even before, and she'll use Renaissance paintings to source out these fruits. For example, we went on a mission to look for a fig in a fresco that we saw at a palace, the Bufalini Palace, and it was this funny-looking fig that she just couldn't put her finger on it. We went to a monastery. I won't give it away.
Don't give it away. No.
But it is an adventure. It is fruit hunting at its best. And it's also, for Isabella, it really is about this notion of that it's not really about the fruit itself. The significance of preserving a fruit for her is because surrounding every fruit is a memory, a culture, and a history. And that is the significance for her.
This is Daniel Garber, the movies on CIUT 89.5 FM, and I'm speaking with Young Chang about his new documentary, Fruit Hunters. So tell me about the Hollywood connection.
Well, lo and behold, I was reading an article about a year before we started shooting the film, and an article in the New York Times, and it was about Bill Pullman. Bill Pullman, the actor from Independence Day and Lost Highway and Spaceballs, and the article was about a new movie that was coming out. I forget the movie because it was all about his exotic fruit orchard that has cultivated in the backyard of his home in the Hollywood Hills, a very humble home and a beautiful kind of terraced, obsessed garden that he has with crazy varieties of fruits like the cherimoya and lychee fruit and all sorts of things, varieties of mangoes and unbelievable stuff. Contacted him out of the blue, and he invited us with open arms to come and research the story with him, the fruit hunter's story with him. And we locked on to this idea that just sort of landed in our laps, that there was an opportunity for the neighborhood, the community where Bill lives, to start a community orchard, and hence this story for Bill. You know, everyone is out to preserve, you know, all the fruit hunters have a mission, most for ecological or cultural reasons. For me, through fruit, for Bill, is about community. And so we went and followed his mission of trying to build this community orchard.
To preserve the fruits from the Hollywood Hills?
More about to preserve his the community that he felt was, and certainly in the hotbed of kind of this mass Hollywood culture, right underneath the Hollywood sign. And Bill felt that, wow, here's an opportunity to create a new icon. Something like the Hollywood Orchard, where it would be about community, would be about sharing and growing fruit, getting back to the land, and learning to preserve and grow fruit and share it with people in the neighborhood.
So Hollywood, I mean, it's not tropical, but it's Southern California, so it's a beautiful climate, maybe a bit desert-like. But people in Canada, we eat bananas all year round. So tell me about the good points or the bad points of monoculture, fruit monoculture.
The bad guy in our movie, monoculture. I think that, the film really got a kick start out of a trip to Honduras, where we visited Juan Aguilar, who is this banana breeder trying to find a replacement for the table banana that we know of, that we eat every day, called the Cavendish, which is under threat of extinction because of a fungal disease. This banana could disappear in 10 years, and there is no replacement for this banana as of yet, one that is hardy enough to withstand travel and the conditions of travel and import-export.
And the Cavendish is the banana that and you eat every day.
Exactly. And its predecessor, known as the Gros Michel, was wiped out by the same fungal disease.
So
what happened inadvertently was, or consciously, when the Banana Republic started propagating their one monocultural fruit, this particular banana, they negated the idea that they should diversify and sort of cultivate other varieties of bananas in case something like this were to happen. So what we're faced with is this monoculture. And I think it sort of exemplifies the situation. I mean, you walk into a supermarket, you have five varieties of fruit, and nothing else. And I think that the notion that we've lost this connection to nature through biodiversity, we've kind of relented to this idea that we have to, we get what we get at a market is, I think, a notion that is changing slowly.
So there's certainly a market for exotic fruit as well. I know in Toronto on Spadina, someone told me that
that's the place to go.
The exotic fruit stall is some of the most expensive real estate in the city. That little area.
It certainly is, and I often make a trip to these tropical fruit stores on Spadina because it's certainly where you can get some wonderful stuff.
So,
but that doesn't that doesn't negate the argument that it's important to also look in your own backyard. And I think that's what kind of the journey Bill Pullman is on in his film. Of course, granted, he lives in a climate where he can have oranges and, varieties of oranges and grapefruit growing in overhanging trees in the middle of downtown L.A., for example. But we have the same thing. We in Montreal, just adjacent to the office where I work, there's an Italian family who have a giant pear and plum tree growing in their backyard.
Oh, wow.
That is fruiting endlessly in the summers. I think we have that opportunity. We just need to kind of look around. There's varieties of apples that I've tried, pink-fleshed apples. I don't see them in any grocery store, but they grow, and they grow in the Apple Beltway in Quebec. And it's fascinating to me that we in Canada can even go fruit hunting. We just need to jump in we just need to grab our machetes and go back there.
Well, Fruit Hunters is a fascinating documentary, but it looks very different from your other films. It's slick. It has animation, celebrities, like slow motion, close-ups. Very, very commercial looking. Is this a change in your style or just a one-off?
That's funny that you ask because I was making it concurrently. In Fruit Hunters, I was making concurrently with
China Heavyweight.
And it was, China Heavyweight is such an intense, realistic,
gritty
gritty cinema verite documentary, And for me, it was a real trip to be able to just compartmentalize and go into this fruit world where it was about tasting and discovering these shapely little fruits and going to exotic locations. I mean, that was part of it, was that excitement of that journey, yes.
For sure. Any film that would take me to Borneo or Bali, that's a reason right there to do it.
Exactly. But yeah, there's a personal connection for me. You know, I have a love of fruit cultivated through my experiences growing up in Canada, but spending time in Taipei as a young kid and eating durian and lychees and you know, and wondering why I couldn't find those things in Canada, and having, you know, that idea that I think there's something nostalgic as well about fruit, and perhaps my journey in Fruit Hunters was about that rediscovery as well, learning about the history and the stories that surround every fruit.
So finally, if you were on a desert island or something, and what is the one fruit you'd like to choose to live with? If you could,
wow,
if you had to choose one fruit, what would your fruit be?
If I had to choose one fruit, you know, this film taught me that an Alfonso mango is probably something you want to have with you when you're on a desert island.
An Alfonso mango.
It's such, as Richard Campbell, the fruit hunter, says, that, you know, it's such a complicated fruit. It really is a love story to learn to appreciate a mango. And you know, he says lychees. Forget about lychees. Lychees are cold. They have no emotion. But mangoes are full of passion.
So there's heady and cool fruits.
But mangoes, literally, I tasted mangoes in Miami that tasted like creme brulee and lemon meringue pie and pina colada, very complex flavors.
Okay, you've got me hungry now. thanks for talking with me, Young.
Thank you very much, Daniel.
So Fruit Hunters is a delicious, erotic, exotic, and fascinating new documentary that opens on November 23rd, and I've been speaking with its director, Young Chang, by telephone in Toronto. This is Daniel Garber, the movies, for CIUT 89.5 FM, and on my website, culturalmining.com.